Many of you know that for my day job, I am a chemistry professor. And as most of you also know, that the last 18 months for teachers has been very difficult. One of the interesting things that's happened and that's come out of this pandemic is that there are now two groups, and probably more, but two that I'm involved in on social media, specifically for chemistry educators everywhere, to ask questions, to get support, to tell geeky science jokes, and to try to survive teaching chemistry during a pandemic. I bring this up because a few days ago, one of my colleagues in a different college posted an urgent request. She is a department chair, and one of her chemistry faculty members was suddenly hospitalized, and it came down from upper administration that it was up to her to get his class covered. The course was not something she ever teaches. There was no useful syllabus. There wasn't even a roadmap of topics to be covered. There were no old exams. There was nothing to help her figure out either how to help someone else take over the course or for her to be able to turn around and teach the course herself. So she posted this information in one of these chemistry teacher groups and received an outpouring of offers of help, from videos to use, to old exams, to syllabi, etc. The next day, there was a second post from this professor. She mentioned she felt that she had been criticized by someone for asking for free help and not offering compensation for someone's intellectual property. That was an incorrect interpretation of the message she received, as it turned out, but that wasn't the part that struck me. What struck me is that in response to this post, over and over again, the people who had sent her materials responded with, "I shared this with you as a gift, not because I expected you to pay me for it." So this is where, if we were in a church building and this was live, I'd be looking out over the congregation and seeing the light bulbs starting to click on as you figure out how I am bringing teaching chemistry and using social media to church and Reformation Sunday. I'm going to say again the words that caught my attention. I shared this with you as a gift, not because I expected you to pay for it. Similar words were a church-shattering revelation from God through Scripture that Martin Luther was trying to get across to the church of his time. Words that the Holy Spirit is still working to get us to hear every day. Words that remind us that our salvation is a gift from God with no expectation for payment from us. A gift of unconditional love. In the letter from Paul to the Romans, we hear, "Since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." A gift. A gift where we are both justified and redeemed, pardoned for our sins, and set free from being slaves to sin. Jesus' own words talk about that redemption. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now I'm just going to take a little side trip detour here, especially with everything that's happening in this country right now. I want to make it very clear that the biblical use of the word slave is not the same as the kidnapping of Africans from their lands by white Europeans and Americans hundreds of years ago and relegating them to being less than human and property. Biblically, the term slave is more in line with the idea of being a servant or an indentured servant. Still not a great position, but it wasn't the same as what we think of in terms of slaves and the enslavement of Africans. There's a whole sermon that could be preached on that, which I will not do today, but I just wanted to be sure that as I continue to use this term slave through the sermon, that we are on the same page about what it means biblically and what it means in these passages. So in doing some reading for this sermon, I came across an article written by the Reverend Dr. Mark Tranvik. He's an ELCA pastor and a seminary professor. He calls attention to two words in Romans that could easily be overlooked. In fact, I actually did overlook them, but that he thinks we should really pay attention to. These words are the first two words of Romans 3:21. The words are, but now. Dr. Tranvik writes, but now, says Paul, God is doing something new. Paul is directing our attention to the present tense. This is echoed later in the section when he says, they are now justified by his grace. And it was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous. In other words, we are not dealing merely with something that God has done in the past. This is not a glance back to a once upon a time. It is certainly not merely a history lesson. Paul's point is that right now, this very moment, God is declaring something to us that we need to hear. In other words, this is a message that connects with people's lives as they live today. End quote. So verses 19 and 20 make it very clear that even if we wanted to, there is nothing we could do on our own to be justified in God's sight. But God's love, God's grace, our redemption, our justification started from our own beginning and will continue through eternity. We weren't forgiven and set free 2,000 or so years ago. We are forgiven and set free every second of every minute of every day for eternity. You've probably heard the phrase, the gift that keeps on giving. Well, this truly is the gift that keeps on giving. And it is that gift that we highlight as often as we can, but especially on Reformation Sunday. I have shared another story with many of you, and so my apologies for those who have already heard it, but I'm going to share it with everyone here. A year ago this week, I was sitting at dinner with my husband, who is an ELCA pastor but currently serving a couple of Episcopalian churches in addition to the National Guard. I asked him on that last week of October in 2019 what he was going to do for church for Reformation Sunday. And he simply looked at me and replied, "Nothing. Anglicans don't do Reformation Sunday." My response very quickly was, "Well then, I guess I won't be going to church with you." And on Reformation Sunday 2019, I walked into First Lutheran Church for the very first time. And boy, what a first year I have had with you all. This memory came back to me as we started to approach the fall, and it started me wondering, why did it matter to me to go to a Lutheran church on Reformation Sunday? I'm sure my husband would have preached a fine non-Reformation Sunday sermon, and the liturgy would have been familiar. After all, the Anglican and the Lutheran services really aren't all that different. But I had been wandering in a desert for some time. I had been away from church completely for a few months after having left my position as a music minister. I was mourning the loss of a musical partnership that had led to a special friendship. That friendship still exists, but the musical partnership dissolved when we both resigned from our position. And I wanted to finally go somewhere that felt like a spiritual home. And on Reformation Sunday, that home could not have been in any church that was not Lutheran. I needed a place where I could remember where I came from spiritually, refocus on what is most important, and be challenged to keep reforming my spiritual life and practices. So those three things should sound a little bit familiar to my introduction and welcome earlier. So having a place to belong is a powerful need for humans. Our gospel speaks right to the heart of that. Jesus flatly says that if we sin, we are slaves to sin. And with a deeper blow, Jesus reminds us that slaves do not have a permanent place in the household. In other words, sinners don't belong. And we know that we are all sinners. But the good news is that Jesus didn't end his discourse there. The beauty of what Luther was trying to point out after reading his Bible carefully and what Jesus says in our gospel lesson today is that yes, we are slaves to sin and cannot free ourselves, but Jesus can. He does free us every second of every minute of every day for eternity. Through Jesus' willingness to be clothed in our sins, we are justified and forgiven. We are redeemed and free. We belong. We have a place in God's household always. This is a gift, no expectation of payment. It is a gift. It is up to you to decide what to do with that gift. But the great thing about this particular gift, the more you share, the greater it becomes. Amen.